podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You just got called up to the big league, son. Welcome to the show. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Radio. It's Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. Bob McCowan, John Shannon in the studio for the first hour today. Our guests include blank, 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 and blank, which is to say I don't even know.
Eric Smith and Cliff Floyd. How's that?
You know that?
Yes.
How is it that you, the co-host of the show, the part-time guy, knows this information before me?
Because I asked.
Oh. That's what you have to do?
I guess. Eric Smith. Oh, yeah. Cliff Floyd and Eric Smith.
No, you said Eric Smith and Cliff Floyd.
Oh, I know. I didn't go alphabetical.
Backwards. Pat Gillick will join us later. You buried him.
Well, no, I'm not here for that, so I don't care.
Oh, you don't care. Okay. Well, I'll be here for that, I think.
You think? Are you sure?
No.
How are you feeling?
No. Ugh.
Really?
Don't ask. I'm like... Everything hurts. And I don't think I've had one of these persistent colds where it's not just the cough. The cough is the issue right now. But it's not like my nose isn't running, you know. It's not really in my chest, I guess, except it's a cough. But everything hurt. Like my arms hurt, my neck hurts, my legs hurt.
Ooh.
Everything hurts.
Really?
What do you think that is, John? Dr. Shannon?
I think it probably requires a nice glass of wine, Bob.
No, I'd be more than one.
No, and just have one a day. Just, you know, just one a day. I think at this time of year.
Think it does anything?
I think it helps.
Does it?
I do. I think it helps.
Well, I know just the place to go.
Any suggestions?
No, I'm not going to. Which reminds me, so there's the other thing. So I brought in a bottle today. It's not here. I left it in the car because I'm under the weather.
Oh.
And not only does everything hurt, my brain isn't functioning at all. So there it is in the front. It's on the front seat of the car. No, I don't want you to go get it. I'll go get it later.
No, you won't. You'll go get it at 7:05 and drive it home.
Well, then maybe I will. I haven't decided.
So,
but it's a big ass bottle. It's a 1.5 liter.
What is that? Is that a hip magnum?
It's a special magnum, magnum.
Really?
Numbered, limited edition.
Oof.
There's 1,000 of them, and every bottle is hand numbered.
Hand numbered.
Or numbered by hand.
Okay. Hey,
somebody that the winery.
You know, there are certain people of our generation, Robert.
What generation is that? Generation A?
Well, you know what? Late boomers. Because we're late boomers, right? You know, we're late.
What generation are we in now?
Well, I don't know. Millennials. It's millennials and all that stuff. But we were late baby boomers. Today, John Glenn.
When was Gen X?
That was last decade.
What about Gen Y?
Just a couple of years before.
Y came before X?
Yeah, I think so.
That's bass ackwards.
Well, what else is new?
Like anyway, C comes before B.
Anyway, John Glenn passed away today.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
The former senator and astronaut.
Astronaut. I mean, and nobody made a greater impact, I think, for a lot of kids in the early 60s than John Glenn. And his orbit wasn't very long.
First American in space.
No, Alan Shepard was.
Oh.
John right. Glenn was the first one to orbit the Earth.
Yeah,
he orbited the Earth three times.
Shepard just kind of went up and came 50, straight down.
Shepard was in the air in outer space 15 minutes. He was in 15 minutes. But John Glenn was, like, he was, I think, when you talk about people of the 20th century, he was one of those guys that made a difference. And not only in the working with NASA and being a test pilot and an astronaut, but then he went on to be a senator from the great state of Ohio. But it's just one of those ones where you take time to say a prayer for somebody, because he was somebody that I think at my age he made an impact. He made an impact on me because I loved the space race.
So
Glenn was, you had live pictures from outer space, and there was Glenn in the cockpit of the Mercury 7.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Mercury 7.
What was the name of his?
Mercury 7. There was the three programs: Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo.
All right. So Shepard goes up and floats around up there for a while, and then comes down. Right?
Yes, sir.
John Glenn goes up, does a lap around the Earth, and three then times. Comes down. Yep. Oh, three laps?
Three. He went three orbits, I believe. Yeah.
Now, I have actually sat in a space shuttle, but I've never sat in a Gemini or, one of those, like Apollo, like the
capsule.
Old capsules.
A capsule, yeah.
I've seen the capsule. I've looked inside the capsule, but they wouldn't let me in the capsule. This is at Kennedy Space Center.
Okay. Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, but Bob.
What? You're interrupting me.
I am,
I'm
because.
I'm going to forget what I'm saying.
No, you won't, Bob, because, you know, you're a steel trap. You should remind everybody that you have to be drugged to have an MRI. And you don't like.
I am heavily drugged to have an MRI.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't like enclosed space anyway.
I wouldn't like the Gemini.
I don't think you'd like any of those.
Yeah. Anyway. That all being said, here's what I don't know. Is there a steering wheel on those ships?
There are buttons with thrusters. You see, what you do is you thrust, you have little bursts of thrust, of jet propulsion, that you can move the spacecraft
around. Here's the point. Do you think John Glenn had to steer?
I think he had to operate the thrusters at an appropriate time, yes.
Didn't just kind of hover or go around the Earth.
I think what he did was he would correct it. He would, if it went off, he would correct it. It would go on a gravitational pull around the Earth, but there were times that he would probably need to do a correction. I knew too much about it. I loved this stuff. I was allowed to stay home to watch every rocket launch and every political convention as a child. My mom and dad thought that was better education than going to school, and they were both teachers. So I could stay on. I loved this stuff.
Well, I liked it too. I don't think America's been to the moon, of course.
Sudbury?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm positive there's a shadow of the big nickel in the shot of them.
Yeah.
Planting the flag.
There are people out there that think you're right with this thing. Don't do that, Bob. Don't do that. Don't be a conspiracy theorist like that. Come on.
Well, all you have to do is watch the odd movie.
One of my favorite movies, The Right Stuff.
No, not those kinds of movies. Like, you can turn any place into someplace else.
Oh, I see.
More movies are shot in Toronto, or it's New York or Chicago, or, you know, desert. Well, The Martian. Did you watch The Martian?
Oh, I love The Martian.
Great movie.
Yeah. Where was it shot?
I don't know.
Oh.
But it wasn't shot on Mars, I'm pretty sure.
You are.
Sudbury, I think.
You're going out on a limb and say it wasn't shot on Mars.
I'm thinking. Either that or Matt Damon ain't back yet. So where did they shoot that? Didn't it look like Mars?
Like Earth? I've never been to Mars, Bob.
What you imagine Mars to look like.
It did, but I mean, there's nothing to say that that can't be on some, you know, movie lot in the high desert in California.
Do you think there's a subway on Mars? There might not be any people.
Hold on. You're talking the train or the sandwich shop?
No, the sandwich place.
No, they're a Quiznos franchise.
Oh, okay.
Somebody bought the Quiznos rights for...
Yeah. But my point is you can make anything look real.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the government has nothing but money. It's not a budget question. It's not a question of, you know, Cecil B. DeMille saying, you know, I could make this look like real, but I don't have the money for it. Or Alfred Hitchcock or some great director from the...
Scorsese.
Well, he's more modern. He's got the money. But...
Are you kidding me?
With the technology today, are you telling me you couldn't make that look like that? And the picture was very grainy. You remember the picture?
Oh, sure.
Very grainy.
Sure. Do you remember the day?
I think they made it look grainy. That's what I think.
Yeah. I listen, that the day that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin came down the ladder, that's something we as kids we remember where we were when we watched it. Come on. That's one of those days. That was something. I mean, and even...
I'm not buying it.
Oh, no.
I'm on a grassy knoll when it comes to that stuff.
I know.
I don't think it's real.
I'm glad. I mean, what about...
I bet you Cliffy doesn't believe it either. You fumbled the paper. What are you doing? Honest to goodness.
The crack research staff.
What do they got?
We're the Martian filming locations.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly. You got it from the interweb, so you know it's true. That's right.
Okay, Wadi Rum Jordan.
Oh, yeah, okay, I can understand that.
Johnson Space Center. Korda Studios in Etyek, Hungary.
Hmm.
Budapest.
Now, was it Buda or Pest?
I don't know, it's Budapest.
Well, but Buda's on one side of the river and Pest is on the other.
Well, maybe it was the middle of the river. Go away.
By the way, I just had a text from somebody in Sudbury. They think you may be right.
I am right. It doesn't say where anything is shot here. There's like 10 locations where they filmed things. I assume the Wadi Rum Jordan is where they shot the... the Mars scenes,
or as we
would I'm guessing it wasn't at the Budapest airport,
as we would call it, the exteriors. The exteriors, Bob.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it looked like
anyway,
Mars.
We got off in a little silly discussion.
It looked like Mars.
But
if you can make it look like Mars, you can make it look like the moon.
Just a sad day about John Glenn, that's all. 95 years old.
Well, he lived a nice long life.
He did.
And he was a good man. I don't know whether he went up into space or not, for real.
Might
just been in a simulator. No, I'm thinking it was a simulator.
Do not go there. Come on.
Those moon guys, for sure. Any place they went is Sudbury. This is our friend Cliff Floyd of the MLB Network.
Cliff, get us out of this.
So, do you think there really was a landing on the moon, Cliffy?
Oh. Cliff's not old enough to remember.
No.
Like?
No, I really don't.
I remember.
When you start thinking about...
Yeah, I don't think they went.
How long it takes to get from planet to planet. I was reading something my daughter told me. Oh, no, she showed it to me, so I was reading it.
Yeah.
And she said it takes 9 years to get to one of the other...
some planet?
Planets. And I go, what?
Yeah.
Not 9 years? I go, no, we're good.
Yeah, we'll stay here.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, see, I think it was all a hoax, and they shot it probably in Sudbury, Ontario, and made the film look crappy, and said, you know, one giant
really
step
grainy,
for man.
Right.
Yeah, real grainy, you know, because you can make anything look like anything. And I was just saying, saying to Shannon, I said, you know, have you seen Matt Damon's movie The Martian?
Yes.
Yeah. So that looks real, right? That looks like Mars.
Absolutely.
I don't know what Mars looks like. He doesn't know what Mars...
Right.
Nobody knows what Mars looks like, but that looks like Mars.
Anything.
That's Absolutely. Jordan. Wadi Rum Jordan. That's where they shot that.
However they did it, I mean, I believe it was 100... I was all in, put it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen spaceships. I've seen the space shuttle go up. I've seen a launch.
Oh, you saw the launch?
I've seen two launches.
So do you believe in the launches, and then they circle it around the back of the house and then go park the car?
No, I'm going to tell you exactly what happens. So the closest you can get is 7 miles. That's the closest you can get to
this
the
shuttle. This is what I'm up against every day, Cliff.
And that's where I am. Wow. I'm 7 miles away. And you don't see any little teeny tiny, from 7 miles, you can't see the little astronauts boop, 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 going into the ship. So
but
they have
you
a
see TV monitors. You see monitors of them walking to the
oh,
ship.
Yeah, and TV oh, is yeah. always true.
Always true.
Oh, that's always on us.
I believe in television.
It has to be. Yeah. So
What I've seen living in Cape Canaveral, I've seen the shuttle coming in. I've never seen it launch.
You've seen it land?
You saw it land?
I've seen it land, you know, because it lands on top of a, I'm assuming a set, whatever.
Oh, when they deliver it.
On top of a plane.
Oh, yeah, when they bring it back.
Coming in.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've seen that down in Florida.
Yeah.
Pretty freaking cool, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, I saw the space shuttle take off, but I have no way of knowing whether there was anybody inside, and I'm betting there wasn't. They sent that sucker up there, and when it got out of sight, boom, they blew it up. Whistled for about 3 days, and then magically the guys appeared in Southern California. They landed it. See, they show you a shuttle landing, and I think it's cartoons, but they never show you the guys getting out.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk baseball?
No, that is. You know what? You got a point.
You ever seen them get out? I never seen them get out.
Of course you've seen them get out.
I've never seen them get out.
A lot of data they have to sort of go through before they can get out. You know, you got a lot of paperwork.
Don't you remember when the guys came back from the moon?
A lot of paperwork.
Well, they got to sign one of those immigration forms again, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got to get back in the country. So wait till Trump builds a wall.
Don't you remember seeing them get picked out of the ocean? They got picked out of the ocean and put on the aircraft
carrier.
And
you're buying that, right?
Of course I'm buying
it.
Oh,
my God.
Come on.
Yeah, sure.
And I like Christmas, too. Yeah. And the Easter Bunny. You know?
Yeah, let's put her down in the ocean and we'll get some ship to find us. I mean, come on.
Okay. Have a big holiday.
Can we talk baseball?
Here. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk baseball.
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
Yeah. Latest, Aroldis Chapman signs with the Yankees.
Wow.
This is no surprise to you, is it? Or is it?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot, actually. Because, you know, it might not be the short-term fix. When I say short-term, I'm really win right now. But when you look at 18, when these guys are, you know, these young guys are busting their way the door, they'll be ready, and you'll need a guy at the back end. They won 84 games last year. You can ill afford. I think nobody likes to lose anything when you have a lead in the ninth inning. That's just what, if you do, then it's a problem. We see these guys come around too often. We see in numbers explode records. They were out there with $50 million. You guys,
Cliffy, are you walking around at all?
And you just look at where the game is going.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but if you're walking around, your cell's kind of cutting out. I don't know if you can help us with that. Yeah,
this is the only hotel that I've ever been in that I've had bad service on my phone. I'm not walking around; I'm literally sitting here.
Oh, are you? Oh, well, thank you.
Not moving.
That's okay.
And if it's bad, then you might have to call me back because I hate being spotty. That's never a good interview.
No, I know. Well, what's the name of the hotel? Let's crap on them here.
it's I won't give that out. Well, I'm going to tell you I should give it out because I got stuck in the elevator while I was
there. Yeah, yeah. Tell us.
Come on.
Yeah, well, you know what? So I get on the elevator, and, of course, you know, you push what floor you're going to.
Yeah.
And the freaking thing does not move.
No.
So then I push door open.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you what saved your boy.
Yeah.
The only thing that saved me, it was a glass elevator, and I could see people.
Oh, really? Otherwise, you'd have been, like,
yes,
climbing the wall.
Down goes Frazier, call 911, and crap. They find a body back somewhere. They take him to the hospital. So I'm banging on the window.
Yeah.
Like, I'm banging
on the window.
I'm legit banging on the glass, trying to get their attention. And I'm saying to myself, you mean to tell me all these people here for the winter meetings, and nobody can see me? Nobody can see me in here screaming my head off. I push the call button, and you know that annoying elevator music you get?
Oh, yeah.
Well, guess what? That comes on for the first 3 minutes I'm in there.
Oh, it wasn't on before. Now it's on.
I'm on hold.
Oh, great.
I'm on hold, fellas.
He's on hold.
I'm on hold and stuck in the elevator. Finally, the guy gets on. He goes, can I help you? I go, look, I'm stuck in the elevator. My man goes, okay. I go, no, it's not okay. Like, I need you to get somebody here in a hurry. I'm going down. And finally, the thing somehow or another takes off.
Oh, really?
And it took off. It went up about four flights, and then it stopped. I go, open up. Please open up. And then it shoots back down to the floor I was just on.
Oh, my God.
And it opens up, and I walk off. And people are looking at me like, what the hell just happened to this dude? And I go, do not get on the death trap. And I just walk away. How about that?
Well, that's pretty good.
Now, are you sitting at the desk in the hotel?
I'm actually sitting here at the... No, I actually left the
Oh, this is a different place.
Studio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, this is... Where it happened at is right here. I'm sitting looking at the elevator right now.
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting there staring at it, wondering if I should do something, contemplating, should I, like, break it somehow so they can
never have that
happen to anybody. Because if you're claustrophobic like me,
yeah,
then you'll never, ever want to experience what I experienced.
So, Cliff, the first thing that came to mind to me is that I think you should go to the front desk and complain loud. And they gave you 10,000 more points.
At the very least.
That's a great point.
Get more hotel points, man.
At the very least.
That's a great point because I went to them and said, look, whoever your guy is in the back, he needs to give me something else when I'm stuck in the elevator like that. And they go, sir, I'm so sorry. No, I need more than that.
Yeah.
If you can get about 10,000 extra points in your hotel card, that'd be good.
That'd be sweet.
All right.
I don't think I've ever been in too many Gaylord hotels across the island. Maybe.
Oh, he let it slip.
Oh, the Gaylord.
Attaboy.
Well, you've been to the one in Nashville.
Did I let it slip?
Yeah, you did. Oops.
Oh.
Oops. Well, bad on you.
I'll be here again, I guess, sometime. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe not. maybe they'll go, oh, Mr. Floyd, I'm sorry. Your room is not available. It'll be available in 5 years.
Yeah.
Come back then.
Hey, well, to finish the Chapman discussion.
We heard about what you said in Canada.
To finish the Chapman discussion, was there any was Washington in heavy on him? Is that why the Yankees had to overpay?
I think they were. I think when you look at the Nats and where they are, you know, here being close to D.C. and all the fan bases being around, yeah, they were in. I think, you know, certain guys are must-signs. You know, we talked to Dusty Baker, and he basically said, look, we don't have anybody. The question was, do you have anybody in-house? And Dusty Baker said, not really. Hmm. So for me, that means, no, you don't trust anybody to get those pressures throughout at the back end. And I think they had to overpay because the Nats and a few other teams, the Marlins being that they tried to replace, the tragedy with Jose Fernandez, bringing in a Cuban player was in as well. And maybe they had to overpay right now.
Well, I have this thing about relievers. I don't believe in them, but he's pretty good.
Yeah,
I just don't.
I promise you.
Yeah.
I'm not lying to you. I said the same thing.
Did you really?
They are hit and misses. Yes. Because that's why these guys are overpaying. We've seen so many guys come and go. And when you have a good one, you try to maximize as much as you can. And that's a big part of the small one of opportunity to win. When you have these guys, you know, you don't have them long. We've seen guys, I mean, when you look at the Astros going to get Ken Giles, I mean, this guy was electric in Philly. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, who's Ken Giles?
Oh, yeah.
It happens all across the
game. All the time.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, here's how I've said it. I said, you can name an endless list of great players at every position in baseball. Give me 10 great career relievers. Just 10.
Man.
It's hard.
You will start thinking. It's really hard.
It's hard.
Now, it's even harder.
Isn't that because that they don't have a long shelf life?
Well, that's
There are some great guys out there. I mean, when you look at the Bruce Sutter and Trevor Hoffman and Tug McGraw and Goose Gossage, I mean, you know, Dennis Eckersley, I mean, these guys, but the problem is their arms fall off.
Well,
the one thing that it don't happen is, and we've seen this a lot, is when you become one-dimensional, everybody in the league can hit a fastball. We've even seen it with Chapman, right? And when Chapman's throwing over 100, okay, he's unhittable. You know, but when he's under 100, guess what? He's susceptible to getting hit.
Yeah, guys can catch up
to a lot of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're not incorporating other pitches, you become that guy that's going to be susceptible, because I know one pitch you can throw. Now, the one thing I like about Mark Melanson is he throws a variety of pitches. And I think the more these guys understand that, the Rawdus Chapman, you got to develop a slider or something else that's going to give a little wrinkle to the eye and make me think about a secondary pitch. But if you're going to continuously think you're going to throw 95 past me because it's straight and it's right what I need it to be. Now, you're going to be overpowering? Absolutely. Do I want him to play behind you? Yes, I do. Do the fans get ooh and ah by it? Absolutely they do. But if it's not going to win consistently, at some point I'm going to have to worry about him. And I think that's why a lot of these guys wait. Right. The top three that we're talking about right now, it's not going to go away for a while, in my opinion. But the other ones that we can't name are the ones that are, I don't know, possibly could it be, is a situation where it's not a winning situation, and then you throw them into a tough situation. Is that going to break them? There's so many questions after the top three we're talking about.
I'll tell you what I think is possible. I think it's possible Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion may have to form their own team if they plan on playing this year.
Ain't that something?
That is, that's bizarre, isn't it?
About it. I'm so upset about it. We went through an hour meeting today, and everything was about closers, where Kenley Jansen's going, how much pitching has to be. And I said to myself, is this where we are? I mean, is this what's going to have to be? And does nobody not need 42 and 127?
Yeah, no
does
kidding.
Does nobody not need a guy that, yeah, he's slowed down a little bit in Joey Bats? Does nobody need this? I mean, Mark Trumbull's out there. You can go on down the list. You have Sneaky Pop out there. Adam Lynn is Sneaky Pop. He's out there. You can keep going down the list. And if you tell me these teams have that much in their in-house, then I'll tell you, you're lying. So something has to happen, because not only do you pull up a 33-year-old in Edwin Encarnacion's numbers, and you look at this guy and you go, well, yeah, he's declining. No, he's not, people. Look at the last 5 years of this man's career. He has been one of the best players in the game, period.
But, Cliff, don't you think he'd have a deal if he took a 2-year deal?
Oh, I think he would.
He probably would. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we can't expect. And maybe it makes sense for him to have plan B and hurry up with it. Because the more he wastes, the more money he loses. So if he's, a 2-year deal and it's going to give him $40 million, he takes it and go gets another $40 once he showcases that.
Exactly.
You know, he's not going away.
Exactly.
But these guys, it's very hard for them to look out there in the real world and go, and please don't take this as disrespect, but $184 million for Jason Hayward, I have to accept a 2-year $40 million, it's hard for him to do it. I
sure
wish
it
they
is.
Would, but it's just hard for him to accept that.
It's harder for his agent, you know, who's...
It really is. Those are the ones that's keeping him from doing it, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, I mean, if you turn the clock back, he gobbles up the Blue Jays' 4-year $80 million deal. He gobbles that up because he's not going to see that
it
anymore.
It sounded like a joke to us first, though. To me, it sounded like... I laughed at it. I thought they must not want him then. 4 years, 80? No way. Look at the production this man's put up the last 5. You know, you must not want this cat. Obviously, you want to move on. They moved on really quickly. And Kendrick Morales, that was a great deal for them. Okay, you got a guy that's left Kansas City, hit 30 bombs. I get it. Okay, you still not replacing that. I don't care. I don't care what you say, what you do. You can't replace those two. And I took a lot of flack for that on Twitter throughout the season when people were going, well, you know what? You sound stupid saying we should get rid of one of these guys. I go, well, you can say what you want. If you lose them at the end, moving forward, you be going back to hockey and watching that as opposed to going out there and watching the team, because I don't believe they're going to be as good as we all think they're going to be.
Well, I wonder how much of this has to do with the style of team that has been successful. The emphasis on the home run hitters. Baltimore hit a crap load of home runs this year. The Blue Jays hit a bunch of home runs, and they aren't there. You know, they don't have any rings. Kansas City won a World Series 2 years ago with a bunch of pop hitters and fast guys. And I just wonder whether they're, you know, it's we live in a monkey see, monkey do environment, especially in sports. The system that everybody wants to follow is the last one that worked. Not because they think it's good, but because it worked. Kansas City did it this way. Okay, that must be the way to do it. You must need to have three really good arms in the back end of your bullpen. So now everybody goes berserk about relief pitchers. And it's still going on today. It happened with Chapman.
Yeah.
Well, it does. And it does start a trend. We see that consistently. And next year when we talking at this time, fellas, you and I both know we'll be talking about something totally different than three relievers.
That's right.
And that's just the way, that's just the nature. You make a great point, and you're absolutely right. But then ain't there somebody in the room sitting there going, hey, guys, you see all this power out here? It's called production. And at some point, guess what? In the middle of the season when you need this guy driven in from second base and you need a two-run homer to put you in the lead late in the game.
This is a guy who can do it.
These guys are the ones that do it.
You're right.
So when you got your pitcher out there sweating his you-know-what off because he's out there going, I got to throw perfect games every day because I'm not scoring enough runs. And, oh, by the way, my dude that I'm counting on to be the speed guy, he has a hamstring pull. So now what do I need? Right? I need some.
Well,
I need a guy that can hit the ball at the ballpark consistently. Now, look, if there was a guy on the fence that had up and down years, I would have. If you told me Joey Batson and what he's asking for is too much, we can go back and forth. Do I believe he should get it? Absolutely, because I like what I've seen from him. He keeps his body in great shape. I know he dealt with some little fluky injuries, but I still like the player. Edwin Encarnacion, is nothing you can tell me about that. It's zero out there for you to tell me about why this man does not have a $100 million contract when you look at the numbers the last 5 years.
Well, and above his hitting, and that's what we look at. I mean, the guy played a good portion of the second half of the season at first base and was not horrible. He was all right at first base. He can play there.
He don't hurt you nowhere.
No.
Yeah, he don't hurt you anywhere. He does not hurt you nowhere.
There's
no category you go, oh, here goes one that knocks off $10 million. Oh, here goes another one that knocks off $20 million. No, you add to what you want. If you want to win and you have a team, like if I'm sitting there and I'm the Cleveland Indians, you gave me everything you had in the World Series. You got there, you won seven games, you won extra innings with a team that was, well, on paper, way more superior than you are. And you have a glaring hole sitting there at first base, you find, hey, defer the money. Do something that's just, you know, whatever you have to do, crafty, and make it work. And go, look, we didn't offer it to Napoli because we maybe don't believe Napoli is that guy. We're going to get the guy that's going to take us over the top. And this is a sign right here. You will have that stadium packed every night in Cleveland if you do that because they had a taste. They were an inch away from being one of the best teams in baseball.
Time is our enemy. We got to get out of here. Too much talk about elevators and stuff and space.
Yeah, well, that elevator. Hey, listen, let me tell you something about that elevator. You know, if I have a couple shirts here.
Yeah.
That one will never. Everything I wore that day is going in the trash. That was one of the worst days.
That's bad luck.
In the history of Cliff Floyd living on this earth.
Yeah, that's a bad luck shirt.
That's a former
baseball player strategy.
I'm not even talking about the shirt.
Everything.
The whole outfit.
Everything.
The whole outfit.
Yeah.
Everything.
Cliffy, take the stairs. Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you guys.
See ya.
But you know, in the business of baseball, you know, all the big ball hitters, all the big home run hitters are all sitting out there. So that tells you that you know, the economics of supply and demand is that there's no hurry to sign those guys. No one's in any hurry to sign them. And they're going to get a better deal later on. They being the teams are going to get better deals later on with the big home run hitters.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't know. It's hard to... I understand the Blue Jays' position. I mean, I it may not have been how I did. Although I think, you know, 4 for $80 is probably, I would never have given him 4. But that's just me. But I mean, I don't want anybody to think that I don't love Edwin Encarnacion and what he has accomplished. And I believe there's another year or two of that in him.
Well, there's got to be more than a year or two if you're going 4 for $80, Bob.
Well, I wouldn't offer 4 for $80.
Oh.
Like I said,
would you go 360? Or you'd go 370?
At one point, I actually said 260.
Okay.
At one point, I said...
But I mean, there's no point. I mean,
2 years is what I would like to have.
Yeah, I understand.
And if it's a third, maybe there's an option built in with a buyout.
And obviously, there are more baseball teams thinking your way, with term being the biggest issue, than money.
Yeah, short.
Yeah.
We'll take the break when we come back. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Eric Smith will join us. Hoop talk. It's prime time. Back in a minute.
Did Bob McCown just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. On demand. On demand.
You're a Springsteen guy, Shannon? You're not musically
inclined.
I'm
not a music guy, but I have been to a few concerts in my life, and one of them was a Springsteen concert, and it was electric. It was
and long.
And long. We were actually...
he does like 3 hours.
We were in one of those areas behind the stage, and he actually played to us, I think, as much as... he did to the main crowd, and it was just fantastic to watch.
Like you were backstage, you were seats behind the stage.
Yeah.
I see.
And it was just a great, great night. I went out and, you know, I'm a compulsive guy, so I go out and buy three CDs.
Oh, yeah, right away.
Right away, or that's when you didn't download then a while ago.
I don't download.
The other great concert I went to was Neil Young at Madison Square Garden in New York.
And you like that, huh?
Oh, Crazy Horse.
One of the strangest things. I've never been a Neil Young guy. I don't dislike him. I don't know. Did you know his dad?
I met Scott.
Yeah, I know him too.
It's really quite a story, a family story.
It is. Eric Smith, play-by-play voice of the Raptors, joins us. Hello, E. How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
So is this a Minnesota, this is Minnesota week right here in Toronto?
It is.
Yeah, it was, the Wild last night and the Timberwolves tonight?
Indeed.
Do you think this
hopefully a better result for the home team tonight if you're a Raptor fan.
Yeah. Do you think this is a coincidence or not? Do you think there's something suspicious going on here?
Well, there's a whole bunch of, little quasi-reunions, quote-unquote, tonight, even within this game, because Andy Greer is an assistant coach with the Timberwolves. He was an assistant with the Raptors the last 2 years, mm-hmm. left Toronto in the offseason to rejoin Tom Thibodeau. Yeah, I obviously got Andrew Wiggins coming back to Toronto. There's a couple of former Raptors either coaching and or playing on the Timberwolves, and John Lucas and Rick Brunson and Eddie Pinkney, who was on the original Raptor team, now an assistant coach with Minnesota as well. Kevin Harlan's calling the game tonight for TNT, and he was the original voice of the Timberwolves when they first came into the league, and he's now, you know, the big national broadcast stateside. So there's a whole bunch of little storylines going alongside with this game tonight. And it's strange, guys, that Minnesota 6-15, and I know they got the young talent of Wiggins and Towns and Levine, but they're 6-15, and this is their second game on TNT in the last 3 weeks. So the network's certainly buying into the hype of what they look like on paper, but it's obviously not coming out in terms of their record this season.
Well, I've heard more about the Timberwolves and how good they're going to be and how much fun they are to watch and all this stuff. And I keep looking at the record and I go, yeah, but they still can't win.
Yeah.
You know, call me when they can win.
Gosh, that sounds like the Maple Leafs.
You know what it is? Well, and the Leafs are winning more than they are, at least this season.
Yeah.
But, I think it kind of plays into, I know Jonesy and I have talked a lot about this over the years, where anybody that kind of buys into those theories of the past few years where, you know, it wasn't that far removed that we were saying, oh, should the Raptors be tanking? And I was never a big fan of tanking, because getting draft picks is one thing. But doing the right thing with those draft picks and drafting the right players with those picks is another. And you look down the list of the Timberwolves, and there's no denying in my mind that Carl Anthony Towns is going to be an MVP in the league one day. Andrew Wiggins is a fabulous player, as is Zach LaVine. Ricky Rubio, he's still trying to find himself and trying to stay healthy. You know, Chris Dunn is a solid pickup in this past draft for them as well. But you look at how many top 10, top 5 picks that the Timberwolves have had and still have on their roster right now. And they've got a ton of talent, but if it doesn't come together, or if they don't grow together properly, or if you don't surround them with the right veterans and kind of those glue-type guys, it doesn't matter what talent you have. It doesn't matter how young you are. you got to have the right mix and the right chemistry.
Well, sounds like the Edmonton Oilers.
Maybe. Let's ask the question. Is Thibodeau a coach that can make Wiggins better?
I think he is, John, but I'll tell you, I was surprised by the move. Not from his standpoint. You get a chance to take the reins of a team like that with that kind of talent.
Sure.
And get paid. Hey, who wouldn't take the job?
Get paid, yeah.
But the type of coach that he is, more defensive-minded and a guy that really leans on players as well, log heavy minutes, and I think maybe a guy who's better served with a veteran team, I was a bit surprised by the mix of the Timberwolves thinking that he was the right guy for them. And that's not to say that he's a bad coach. I just don't know if he's the right coach for a young team. I thought Sam Mitchell did a pretty good job with that young team and getting guys to play, but they ultimately felt that they needed a different voice or more experience or a bigger name or whatever, and ultimately went the Thibodeau direction.
I don't want to dwell on this, but I think there's something going on between Casey and Valanciunas. What do you think?
I honestly, I don't think there is. If you mean on a personal level, like
that the coach somehow does not trust this player and can't bring himself to trust this player.
I think the problem right now, Bob, I was thinking about this the other day because Ryan Wohlstadt from The Sun had a blog about, whether Valanciunas was the right fit. And I started thinking to myself, and I like Valanciunas' game personally, but you start thinking about the last few years, the teams that have won, the best teams. Now, granted, I give you that you still ultimately play the trump card of LeBron James and Steph Curry. But look at those teams. In the finals, Timothy Mozgov didn't play. You played undersized with Kevin Love, with Tristan Thompson, with LeBron James even at the four or the five.
Yeah.
In Golden State, it's Draymond Green. Even this year, it's Kevin Durant. Yeah, he's 6'11", but he's not your traditional center. You start looking around the league at the best teams, among the best teams, we're not talking about the old school, slower, 7-plus footer that plays back to the basket in the post that has trouble running up and down the floor, and the team is running a half-court office, dump it down to the post, and play inside out. That doesn't exist anymore. So I think when Dwayne Casey is looking at trying to match up against other teams and trying to put his best five on the floor, it's oftentimes not the best five individuals, but the best five together. And the best five together sometimes doesn't include Valanciunas because of the way the team plays. You look at even the other night against Cleveland, again, because they're playing small or smaller. In the fourth quarter, you essentially had Patrick Patterson logging a ton of minutes at the five when Toronto went extremely small, with DeRozan and Ross and Patterson and Joseph and Lowry. You weren't even playing Lucas Nogueira, who's been seeing a few more minutes under Valanciunas this season. But even the other night, it wasn't Nogueira. It wasn't Siakam. You went extremely small. I think it's just kind of a product of where the league is right now. And to the point of Valanciunas, it's not that he's not the right fit in Toronto. I'm just not sure if he and many other bigs are the right fit for a lot of teams right now because of the way the league has gone.
Raptors, Timberwolves tonight. Timberwolves 6-15 heading into this one. Have a good call. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, E.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Eric Smith, play-by-play voice of the Raptors on the radio.
Boy, you'd think that with what Valanciunas can offer on the defensive side of the ball, to me, the simplicity of with a team that, let's face it, the defense hasn't been there for most of the season, and it's been the one thing that jumps out at you that there'd be something there, Bob, don't you?
Yeah. Well, it's an ongoing story that won't be resolved or solved tonight or anytime soon.
Yeah. Hey, before we go, Kenny Daniels, son Jamie, passed away last night, age 23. Kenny's
our condolences.
A morning guy here. Did the sports when you were doing the morning show?
Yes,
it worked for me at Hockey Night in Canada. The voice of the Detroit Red Wings, one of the great people in our game of hockey and in broadcasting. Just our thoughts and prayers go to Kenny and his family. It's a sad, sad day for the Daniels.
Well said. Pat Gillick will join us, the senior advisor to the president, general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, and, of course, the Hall of Famer and former GM of the Toronto Blue Jays, Glenn Healy. A little bit later on, Don Banks with his Thursday contribution, and Anthony McDonald of thestable.ca. We'll talk about horse racing, specifically in Ontario. That's when Primetime Sports continues. Hope you stick around.